Praise the Lord. All right. We're good. All right. How are we doing, guys?
Good.
Good? Praise God. We just heard a great story.
Yeah.
Right?
That's not a story. That's a miracle.
On the Lord. On the Lord moving on someone's behalf. Amen? And that is awesome to hear stuff like that. It's always, and I encourage you guys have a testimony, something, God does something good in your life, share it. Share it. You know, share what God's doing. It's encouraging for you, obviously, because God moved on your behalf, but it's encouraging to hear it as well,
yeah.
Right? When somebody gets blessed, we know we are Christians, we're saved. Jealousy, envy, that's no longer part of us anymore, right? The world may think, why them and not me? But just always think, somebody told me this a long time ago. When you hear somebody get blessed, just think like this. Not why me, but say I'm next, right? You say, I'm next. God's going to move on my behalf too. Amen? So it's a blessing to hear these stories and what God's doing and the miracles. The miracles of God. Amen? So Genesis chapter 31. And it's a little long. And we're going to try to get through all this. Right? Not sure if you guys read it and kind of went through it. But I've kind of been going through it during the week, and every time I would pick it up just to read the chapter, something new would pop out, right? And I was like, Lord, what are we going to focus on, one thing, Lord, or what's it going to be, right? And then next day would come and I would read the chapter, and it was like something else, like, oh, how about this over here? So it was like every time I opened the chapter, it was like something new uncovered. But that's just how awesome God is. Amen. Otherwise, we would say, well, I read it already, and I could stop now, right? That's not what God wants for us. So, Genesis chapter 31, as we've seen, see the story, Abraham, Isaac, we're in Jacob now, and we're getting closer and closer to Joseph. Now, he is now born. And many of you guys remember Rachel, right? Gave birth to Joseph, and she said, finally, the Lord has blessed me, and I'm done. No, we know that's not true, right? She said, no, the Lord's going to bless me with another one, right? And we saw, as Pastor Al titled last week's chapter, Look, right? Where everybody's eyes were, right? To please Jacob, and maybe I find favor in him now maybe he lives with me. And they all tried their own strategies and their own ways to do stuff, thinking that those are the plans that are going to work. And we know the story. We saw that before Leah had given birth to Judah, right? And she said what? Now I will praise the Lord, right? And it says, and she stopped bearing children. Almost a point of saying, like, boom, there it is. You figured it out, right? Great, right? Judah, right? Who comes from the line of Judah?
Jesus,
right? So we think, oh, right there, boom, they figured it out, got it. But then we see in the chapter last week that then she started playing this game as well, right? So anyways, we saw all this mess. We saw the spotted, the speckled animals, and we saw they were all looking at the strips and everything, and everybody was looking everywhere except where? Except to the Lord, right? And all these different things were happening. And at the end of Genesis chapter 30, we see that Jacob becomes prosperous, and he's growing, right? His earnings, his family's growing, right? It says he's exceedingly, right? It says in verse 43, it says, thus the man became exceedingly prosperous, right? That's a good thing to hear, right? We know what had been happening, and we see that the Lord, in spite of who Jacob was, who Jacob is, what Jacob is doing, the stuff he's done, right? You see that he's prospering. Amen? And he's living where? You guys know his name? What's his name? Laban? Right? He's living with him, right? And we know that they are deceivers, and we know that that's his match, right? So we go to verse 1 of chapter 31, and verse 1 says like this. Excuse me. It says, now Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has acquired all this wealth. And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable toward him as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers, to your family, and I will be with you. Amen. So we see a couple of things happening here. We see that the sons, remember how far away were they? Do you guys remember?
3 days.
3 days, right? They were 3 days away. And the sons, they see, right? Hey, this guy's prospering over here, right? They're prospering over here. This guy's beating us. He's taking probably our inheritance, they're thinking. But bottom line, he's prosperous. Remember I said, we're next, right? These guys didn't think we're next. These guys were thinking, this guy's stealing from us, right? And that's not right. So he heard this. It says Jacob heard this. It says Jacob heard the word, right, of the son speaking. It says, and Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable toward him as before. So what's happening to him? He's losing favor, right? Right? Remember, Laban's getting blessed because of Jacob. Right? We know this, right? He's been getting blessed because he's there, right? He's prospering. Well, Laban's prospering as well. But it says that he saw his countenance of his face, and he sees something's just not right here anymore. I'm hearing what the sons are saying, and now I'm seeing that he's not looking at me in the same way anymore, right? So something's up. And then we see finally, and the third thing here is that the Lord said, return to the land of your fathers and your family, and I will be with you, right? So the Lord speaks, and he tells them, okay, now it's time to go, right? So we see somebody who always, remember the first promise, when he spoke to him in 28, he says, I will bring you back, right? I will be with you, I will keep you, and I will bring you back, he tells him, right? So he's always had this in him. He's always had this to return. Remember, he just took off, right, in fear. The mom said, go away. And he says, go find a wife. But he leaves. But he always had that in him to return. Amen? There was something in him, always, that the Lord had birthed in him to return back. Right? And it was in him. But now he's seeing the circumstances around him. Now the circumstances should not dictate whether we leave, we go, right? But the circumstances, he was seeing what's happening, but then the Lord spoke, right? So then the Lord confirmed, the word of God confirmed the decision, right? So he could have just said, hey, I heard this, the sons, these guys are going to try to do something to me, I'm out of here, right? I see his face, I'm out of here. But then the word of the Lord came forth, right? Any decision we make, any decision we're going to do, we're going to attempt to do whatever is in our minds and our hearts to do, we need to make sure God is involved, right? So many times we've caused whatever damage, whatever harm, whatever things, because we've just said, hey, I just hear the son speaking, I'm out of here, right? It says the Lord spoke, and he said, okay, now you're going to go back. So the Lord speaks, like I said, reminds them of Genesis 28:15. I am with you, will keep you, and will bring you back, right? So he says, now we're going to do that. That promise, now is going to go into effect, right? So as he tells them, he gives them encouragement, right? He's seen all these struggles, all this stuff. He's seen all these things going wrong. Right, a lot of times we look around us and we see things that are going wrong, that are not right. Right, the sons, the father's not looking at me, right, with pleasing eyes anymore. Right, there's ugly circumstances everywhere. Right, so now you start to think, what? I'm alone. This is not working. This was wrong. Whatever you're thinking, right? But the word of God will always remind us. The word of God will always encourage us. The word of God will always point us in the right direction. Amen? See, here the Lord spoke, and he said, return to the land, and that was an encouragement to him. The Lord spoke, and as we're going to see in Jacob's life, the Lord speaks in his life at important times, right? We're going to see in the next chapter what's going to happen. I don't want to ruin it for you guys. But the Lord speaks, right to him. So at important times in his life, the Lord comes in and he speaks to him, right? The word of God comes in and says, hey, I am still with you. Amen? And it's an encouragement, right? Gives them instruction on what to do, right? A lot of times we get instructions, says, okay, now it's time to go back. We may get instructions, or sometimes it just says, all right, now it's time to go back, right? It'd be awesome. And you guys agree with me if you guys like this idea. Wouldn't it be awesome if every morning we wake up and we open up our email and it's from God and he says, here's your plan for the day, right? From 5:30 to 5:35, go do this. That would be so awesome, right? So easy to do. Or at the least, maybe he could just tell Pastor Al the plans for everybody. He could type them all out, right? That way, that way he has to type them and send them all. I'm kidding. Right? But it would be awesome. It would be the greatest, right? And sometimes right here he just says, hey, go, right? It's time to go back. How are we doing it? How are we, right? What's going to happen? We see that the Lord said, hey, go back. But we see that Jacob's going to revert back, right, on how to do it, right? See, a lot of times the Lord may give us a direction, something to do, and maybe we end up going back to our ways on how we're going to help God, right? A lot of times we try to help God. I know I have, right? And we make a mess of it, right? And we say, Lord, how, where, when? I'll inquire of the Lord. Amen? Inquire. The Lord has placed people around our lives to give us counsel. They can pray with us. They can speak into our lives, right? It's important to have people like that in your life that are going to help you, pray for you, and tell you when you're wrong, right? How many of you guys like those people? Those people are not good. No, I'm kidding. Amen. It's important to have those people that can say, hey, this is wrong. This is not right. We need to fix this, right? And the Lord will place those people in our lives. It's just up to us whether we want to listen to those people or if we want them part of our lives, right? So we see, let's move on. In verse 4, it says, so Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field to his flock and said to them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not favorable toward me as before. But the God of my father has been with me, and you know that with all my might I have served your father. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore speckled. And if he said thus, the streak shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore streak. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. What is happening right now? It says he called Rachel and Leah to the field. Okay? Remember, these guys are deceivers. These guys are the con men, right? See, remember they would have their own tents, right? And it is believed that the reason he called them out to the field was a place where he can get them both into one place and talk to them. Because if he went into one tent and he called the other one to come to this tent, suspicion would have come up. What's going on? They're planning something, right? See, he knew that he had to get the girls on the same page, right? He's not going to just leave himself. He has his wives, his family, right? He has the livestock. So he knows he has to get them on the same page and say, let's go. So he brings them all out to the field so that he can speak to them. And he says, look it, your father agreed. These are my wages and this is what's happening, right? And look at what's, he pretty much explains to them what's going on. Verse 9 says, so God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. Right? He's trying to avoid any issues. Remember, Jacob heard the sons talking. So if somebody hears them talking, something might happen. So he's starting to act back to his old ways. Even though God said go, he's starting to revert back to his old ways of here's how I'm going to go. Here's how we're going to plan this. Right? So first, he says, let me bring these two. And I got to get them on the same page with me, right? So he starts off by showing the whole situation. Verse 10, excuse me. Verse 10 says, and it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. The angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, Here I am. And he said, Lift your eyes now and see all the rams which leap of the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar, and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land, and return to the land of your family. So he's still speaking to them. Now first he tells them, here's what your father's doing. Here's the agreement we had. And now I'm becoming prosperous. And look at, now God has taken from him for me. And then he starts telling them his encounter with the Lord. Right? He starts to tell them about this dream he had. Right? About the speckled, the spotted, the gray spotted. Right? He starts to tell them all this. And then he tells them about Bethel. Right? Remember when God said, I will bring you back. And then he said, what was the vow he made? If the Lord brings me back, if the Lord keeps me, if the Lord is with me, right? So even God said, I'm there. He said, well, if you're there, right? But that's the vow he's talking about. And God said, okay, here I am. Now we're going back. Well, that vow, now it's happening. But it's funny or curious to see that he's barely telling them this, right? Who knows if they knew about even his encounter with the Lord, right? We don't know what kind of relationship, what kind of communication happened. We know back with Isaac and Rebecca that the communication wasn't there, and they had their own children they wanted to bless. But we see here that he is just now telling them about this, right? It's important that we share, right? Share with each other. Share, right? If you're married, share with your husband, wife, right? What the Lord is doing. Share with others what the Lord is doing, right? Right, because because of lack of vision, people perish. Right? God gave you a vision, a dream, a desire, something. Write it down on the tablet. Share it with others. Right? Right here we see that who knows if the communication wasn't there, but we see here that he is telling them now. Right? Here's what God is doing. Here's what God told me. Here's what I'm to do, right? I had an encounter at Bethel, and now it's happening. Amen? So he says, and then in verse 14, Rachel speaks. Rachel and Leah says here, then Rachel and Leah answered. Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there still any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us and also completely consumed our money. For all these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children, our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it. And Jacob rose and set his sons and his wives on camels, and he carried away all his livestock and all his possessions which he had gained, his acquired livestock which he had gained in Padan Aram, to go to his father Isaac to the land of Canaan. So after he tells them this, they speak. And what are Rachel and Leah focused on? Their inheritance, their possessions. They didn't say, the Lord spoke to you, we honor the Lord, and we're going to go with the Lord, whatever the Lord says. They pretty much say, you know what? We lost all the possessions too. If we're on your side, you're losing this. So they started saying, what inheritance is for us? Their eyes were not on the Lord, right? Their eyes were on the possessions that they thought they had, and which they are realizing we're going to lose, right? So we have to get on this side with the possessions. This guy's the prosperous guy, right? So they said, whatever, and then they even say, right, whatever God has said to you, then let's do it, right? But they weren't focused on God. We see finally that as soon as Jacob got the green light, boom, right? It says he rose, got his sons, wives, camels, carried them away, and let's go. Start packing. Go get boxes. Go get whatever we need, and let's hurry this up. They're on, right? He got the first okay, and he went. Right? He carried away all the livestock, everything he gained, and he's on his way back because God said, it's time to go. But he left. And we're going to learn that the way he's leaving is not exactly the right way. Right? It's not exactly the way he was supposed to. Verse 19 says, now Laban had gone to shear his sheep. Excuse me. And Rachel had stolen the household idols that were her father's. And Jacob stole away unknown to Laban the Syrian, in that he did not tell him that he intended to flee. So he fled with all that he had. He arose and crossed the river and headed toward the mountains of Gilead. Okay? So Jacob, he leaves. But he's not leaving because he's full of trust in the Lord that God said this. He heard from God to leave, but he's leaving in fear. Right? So fear is driving this boat, this bus, whatever you want to call it. Fear is driving this. It's not faith. It's not trust in the Lord. Fear. He says, I got to get out of here. Right? I got to go. Hurry up. Let's go. He goes out. Right now, first of all, we know Laban's 3 days away. And he's out there now. He's shearing the sheep. So he's busy. Right? He says, right now is the perfect time. We're going to get out of here. Right? Fear is driving this. Why is fear driving this? Because for 20 years, this guy, and we're going to see this, this guy's been deceived. Right? He's been deceived, right? Thinking he's going to marry one, and another one pops out, and then another, right? So much deception. So he says, man, I better get out of here before the next thing happens. Right? Or he could have just said, you know what? The Lord just spoke to me. And you know what? Whenever it happened, I'm just going to go. We're going to wake up. And whether Laban's here or not, I'm leaving. God spoke. He says, I better get out of here before Laban does something else. What's happening there? He's putting Laban, he's giving him way more power than God. Right? He's saying, God spoke. I could move. But he's saying, but Laban might thwart the plan of God. Right? And a lot of times, knowingly or not, this really spoke to me, knowingly or not, we give somebody else a lot more power than they deserve. Right? Because we think, man, they might change this or they might do this. But God is greater than anything. And a lot of times, forgive us, Lord, we forget that. Right? And we neglect to see that. Right? And we just say, we forget about it, and our focus becomes on something. We got to remember the Lord is with us. Amen? I will be with you. I will keep you. I will bring you back, he told them. Right? And I will stay until it happens. It was the second part of that. Right? A little paraphrase. But I'm going to stay. I'm going to make sure it follows through. Right? Trust in the Lord. And he wasn't. He said, Lord said, I'm leaving. But I don't want this guy to change God's plans. Right? So we see that he leaves. He leaves in fear. But we also see one more thing. And it's kind of interesting at first how this just pops up. And Rachel stole the household idols that were her father's. Right? And at the time, it kind of just pops up that she stole it, and then the story kind of keeps on going, right? But it says that it steals the household idols, and I learned, and we learned that those are called the teraphim. Did I pronounce that right? Teraphim? Maybe I did. Just pretend I'm saying it right. The teraphim. It's a Hebrew word, teraphim, and these represent little either statues or little, they turned out to be gods, but they were like family ancestors, it says. There were family ancestors that they kind of had, kind of like if we even had pictures of our relatives, right? So if we had pictures of my ancestors and we hung them everywhere, but those kind of became their gods. And if not their gods to worship, they became like their oracles. They had to go consult. So if I had like my great-great-great-grandpa there and I needed advice, I would go to this picture and ask my great-great-great-grandpa, hey, what do you think? What should I do, right? Which is idolatry, right? And that's what she was taking right here, okay? And we see here that the fear, as I said, that the fear was driving this, But we see all kinds of other stuff that are happening here that Jacob doesn't even know, right? So a deceiver is trying to do things so that nobody knows, and the deceiver doesn't even know that stuff is happening around him, right? So it's just deception everywhere, right? So 21 says, he fled with all that he had. He arose and crossed the river and headed toward the mountain of Gilead. Verse 22 says, and Laban was told on the third day that Jacob had fled. Then he took his brethren with him and pursued him for 7 days' journey, and he overtook him in the mountains of Gilead. But God had come to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said to him, be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad. So Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mountain, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mountains of Gilead. We see that 3 days. Why 3 days? Because by the time they realized he left, remember, they're 3 days apart. So whoever went to go tell them, 3 days, by the time they get there, says, hey, guess what? They're gone. They split, right? Probably great news for Laban. He could have said, awesome, he's finally out of my life. But he knew that the reason he's getting blessed is because of Jacob, right? And the stuff that he's doing to Jacob, right? He has an upper hand, he thinks, on Jacob. So we see that Laban pursues him, right? But what's real cool here is that as he's going, and he could go, could be two things that Laban's thinking as he's going. Number one, I'm going to go kill this guy, right? How dare he take my children? How dare he take my livestock? I'm going to go and I'm going to end this guy. Or number two, which is probably what Jacob feared, I'm going to go and convince him to come back another 7 years maybe, right? Probably had a great plan. This is what I'm going to do. And that's what Jacob, I think, feared more than even death. This guy's going to trick me into coming back, right? But I like that as Laban's going, right? And if you guys don't know, read the story of Balaam and Balak, right? As he's going to do whatever harm, to do whatever thing, God steps in, right? God steps in. And he says, hey, slow down. I'm going to let you go, but you're not going to speak, right? Be careful. Be careful, God says. I like the way he says that. You better be careful. That's my child right there. And we're all his children, right? So when God sees us, his children, right? Us, whoever has children, right? Somebody does anything to our children, right? They're at the playground and somebody doesn't let them get on the swing first and it's their turn. You want to get up and rip the whole park out of there and move it to the side so they can play there, right? Not my children, right? And God said, be careful that you don't speak either good or bad, right? He says, be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad. So he's actually allowing him to encounter him, but he's saying, you're not, whatever you have in your mind, either to kill him or to persuade him, you're not doing that, right? So Laban already knows of this, and yet he still goes. And it's awesome, and it makes us think, and makes me think that Jacob doesn't even know this has happened. And he actually doesn't know this happened until after Laban speaks to him, right? And so many times, I believe it, I don't know it, but I know there's been many, many times where the Lord moved on my behalf, and I don't even have an idea, right? I know it, because that's just God. That's who he is, right? Why did you have to stop and tie your shoe or something, right? And there's a car that just flew by. Whatever the reasons, we don't know. God knows. And I know, and I'm almost certain of this, even though I haven't seen it, that God has moved many times on my behalf without me having an idea of that, right? Without me even knowing, right? Because that's just God's love. Amen. That's just God's love. He's watching out for us. Right? Why does a boss that's so wicked or so evil or just the way he lives, why does he like me so much? Right? Why does he, right? To me, when he talks to me, he's nice. Right? Maybe God spoke to him. Hey, you better not say nothing. That'd be so cool if he could. No. But he's moved on our behalf. And he moves on our behalf. And will continue to move on our behalf. Why? Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? It's the same, right? It says in verse 25, in verse 25 it says, so Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mountains of Laban, with his brethren pitched in the mountains of Gilead. 26, and Laban said to Jacob, what have you done that you have stolen away any unknown to me and carried away my daughters like captives, taken with the sword? Why did you flee away secretly and steal away from me and not tell me? For I might have sent you away with joy and songs, with timbrel and harp, and you did not allow me to kiss my sons and daughters. Now you have done foolishly in so doing. It is in my power to harm you, but the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad. And now you have surely gone because you greatly long for your father's house. And here we go. But why did you steal my gods? Right? Kind of funny. He says all this. You take my daughters, my grandkids, my livestock. And at the end of the day, what it boiled down to, he said, why did you steal my gods? Why did you take my gods? Right? Why? First of all, he says, I could have sent you away with songs and timbrels, which was a custom that they had. Rebecca got sent away this way. Remember, she's from the same household. She got sent away with rejoicing and songs. So he said, man, I could have done this for you. Right? And I don't know if we can believe the guy. But he's saying, I could have sent you away if you could have just told me. Well, God already had just spoken to him. Right? Otherwise, I don't know if he'd be speaking this way, right? He said, be careful. Right? So he said, man, you know what? I could have hooked you up. I could have helped you out. I could have put you on a nice camel and sent you out nicely, right? He says, I could have done this. He said, but he comes down to say, why did you take my gods? Right? And it shows, remember, Rachel took a god and left. Right? And she hid it. And we're going to see that. But we see that that was the root of him. He got down to the bottom of it. He says, why did you take my gods? Right? Idolatry was in this household. And Rachel wanted it. She grew up in this household. She wanted to take it with her. Right? So trouble followed. Understand, when we serve God, we cannot bring other gods with us. Right? We cannot carry them along, hide them, and keep them on the side, hidden, whatever it is. She hides them. She hides them, and I'm spoiling it, sorry, but he can't find this God. But she tried to keep it along with them. God spoke, let's move. Okay, well, let me bring this God with me. This is my favorite. This one was my uncle, and I used to like him a lot. Right? I'm going to take him. Right? We cannot take God. We've been set free. We cannot leave any breadcrumbs for these old ways to find us. Amen? We cannot leave anything, right? And if we struggle with anything, if we have old tendencies, it's, Lord, help us, right? Ask the Lord to help us, right? We're free. Where the sun sets free is what?
Free,
free indeed. Amen? And there may be things that we try to go back to. There may be things that are in us that we don't even realize are still there. Whatever the case may be, say, Lord, I want to serve you and you only, and help me to get to that place. If anything is holding me back, if anything I'm struggling with, anything, the Bible says, cast your cares upon the Lord. Why? Because he cares for you. Right? He says, give it to me. Right? Put it in my hands. We cannot. Carlos said something earlier. When I first got saved, I was raised Catholic, and I used to have this image in my wallet. Right? Which is the Virgin Mary. I used to have it in my wallet, and I was raised that as long as that thing was with you, you're good, right? As long as this thing was with you around your neck, somewhere on your person, you are protected and you are covered and you're safe wherever. Go do whatever you want. Go into the bar and do whatever, anything. As long as you got this thing. And I remember after I got saved, it was so hard to take that thing out of my wallet. I knew I had to let it go, but it was hard. Because I had that in me, right? I had that in me that this, I need to have it. And getting rid of it is, whoa, be careful, right? But thank God that he set me free, right? And I was able to be released of that. But it was hard. I had that. I couldn't let it go. And this could have been the case with Rachel, or maybe she just wanted a it was nice gold or whatever, and wanted to just steal it. Right? But whatever the case may be, she was trying to take a foreign god, idolatry, right, and follow the Lord. Right? Which we can't do that. You can't serve the Lord and bring other gods along. Trouble will follow. Trouble's going to follow. We're leaving a door open. We're leaving a window cracked so that it can enter in. Right? All those avenues got to be cut off. Chains are broken. Right? Whatever bridge, whatever avenue has been shut off. If we can't do it, if it still exists, ask the Lord to help you. Right? Ask the Lord, Lord, I cannot close this door for whatever reason. Can you help me? And He will. Amen? And He will. Excuse me. Let me hurry up a little bit. 31. Then Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid, for I said, perhaps you would take your daughters from me by force with whomever you find your gods. Do not let him live in the presence of our brethren. Identify what I have of yours and take it with you. For Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them. And Laban went into Jacob's tent, into Leah's tent, and into two maids' tents, but he did not find them. And then he went out to Leah's tent and entered Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household idols, put them in the camel's saddle, and sat on them. And Laban searched all about the tent, but did not find them. And she said to her father, let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise from you before you, for the manner of woman is with me. And he searched but did not find the household idols. Right? So Jacob confesses to him, the reason I left is I had fear. He confesses his fear to him. Right? He said, why'd you leave? And he says, I was afraid. I was afraid you were going to do this. I was afraid you were going to do this. And he says, but if anybody has this god, this idol, right, let them die. Right? Rachel hides it. She says, it's my time of woman, right? And she says, I cannot get off right now. You have to forgive me. So doesn't find the idol, right? He looks and looks and wants to look. And the minute, and I kind of had a picture of Jacob, not knowing for sure, like if that idol is there, right? But once he sees that it wasn't found, we see here in verse 36, then Jacob was angry and rebuked Laban. So once he saw that this idol did not pop up, he said, okay, now, right, I'm vindicated or whatever he might have thought. And now he speaks to Laban. He says, and Jacob answered and said to Laban, what is my trespass? What is my sin that you have so hotly pursued me? Although you have searched all my things, what part of your household things have you found? Set it before my brethren and your brethren, that they may be judged between us both. These 20 years I have been with you, and your female goats have not miscarried their young, and I have not eaten the rams of your flock. That which was torn by beasts I did not bring to you, I bore the loss of it. You required it from my hand, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. There I was. In the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes. Thus I have been in your house 20 years. I served for 14 years for your two daughters, and 6 years for your flock. And you have changed my wages 10 times. Unless God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac, had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night. You see that Laban never thanked Jacob or God for his blessings. Right? Never. Right? If anything, as he says here, you changed my wages and I was there. When somebody got killed, I had to pay for it. When an animal got killed, I had to pay for it. Right? I bore the cost, it said. But Laban never thanked God or Jacob for the blessings. But we see in verse 42 that even though Jacob is who he is, he still gives honor to God. Right? He says, unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac, which means Isaac's still alive. That's why he says it like that. Abraham has passed on and Isaac still lives. So that's why he says, and the fear of Isaac has been with me, you would have sent me away empty-handed. So he's giving credit to God. In spite of Jacob, right? He comes to this place and he says, if it wasn't for God, even though you did all this harm to me, if it wasn't for God, if it wasn't, right, for my father, for Abraham and the fear of Isaac, he says, man, I would have been out there struggling even more, right? I would have been left to dry, left out to dry. And we see here that maybe, right, maybe, we're starting to see the change in Jacob. Where even as he's speaking these things out, and he's starting to see what's happening around him, and he's starting to see these avenues. Maybe some avenues are closing. Maybe things are happening around him. Maybe he's starting to get to a point where he's like, man, God is on my side. Right? And it could be, right? And it's getting him to a point, and I'm trying not to spoil it, where he's going to have another encounter with the Lord. And coming soon, right? He's going to have another encounter with the Lord. And we see his heart starting to change, maybe. We see something happening in Jacob's life. He says, man, if it wasn't for God. So verse 43. Actually, you are going to get through this. Praise God. 43 says, and Laban answered and said to Jacob, these daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and this flock is my flock. All that you see is mine, but what can I do this day to these daughters or to their children whom they have born? Now therefore, come, let us make a covenant, you and I, and let it be witness between you and me. So Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. Then Jacob said to his brethren, gather stones. And they took stones and made a heap, and they ate there on the heap. Laban called it Jegar, that word, Sadutha, but Jacob called it Galeed. And Laban said, this heap is a witness between you and me this day. Therefore, its name was called Galeed, also Mizpah, because he said, may the Lord watch between you and me when we are absent one from another. If you afflict my daughters, or if you take other wives besides my daughters, although no man is with us, see, God is witness between you and me. Then Laban said to Jacob, here is the heap, and here is the pillar which I have placed between you and me. This heap is a witness, and this pillar is a witness, that I will not pass beyond this heap to you, and you will not pass beyond this heap and this pillar to me for harm. The God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge between us. And Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered a sacrifice on the mountain and called his brethren to eat bread. And they ate bread and stayed all night on the mountain. And early in the morning Laban arose and kissed his sons and daughters and blessed them. Then Laban departed and returned to his place. Amen. So we see here in this last section that a pillar was erected, and then there was a heap that was built, right? And these were all monuments. It was a peace offering. Praise God. No, it wasn't. Right? They made it seem like it was. Right? But it says a pillar was erected and a heap of stones were raised. Right? This would be called Mizpah, which is watchtower. Right? And as Warren Wiersbe said, Mizpah was a monument to suspicion and fear, not to love and trust. So they finally said, so Laban can't say nothing now. He cannot persuade him to come back. He cannot harm him. Right? He knows, I can't do nothing. I got a safe face here. So he said, okay, we're going to build this between us. And this is where we're going to make our agreement here, our peace offering. But really what it was is like, I don't trust you, you don't trust me. That's what it boiled down to. I don't trust you, you don't trust me. So let's say from this line, we can't cross it anymore. Right? It's just a watchtower of mistrust, suspicion. Right? And it's funny that Laban does all the talking here. Jacob doesn't talk. He lets Laban say all the guidelines. If you hurt my daughters, if you marry another one, if you do this, if you do this, and from here I won't cross over anymore. And all these things. And then Laban says, and we swear by the God of Abraham, of Nahor, and their father. Right? So he's saying, we're going to swear by a lot of these gods. Right? We know where Abraham came from. Right? We know that God called Abraham, but before that, right, there was idolatry. Right? So he said Nahor and Abraham, which they both came from the same place, and their father. So he's saying, man, we're going to swear by these gods over here. But Jacob didn't agree to that. He swore by who? By the fear of Isaac, which is the one true God. Amen? We got to be careful. We got to be very, very careful. And we've heard this before on who we make these agreements with. Right? We can't make these agreements with the world and say, okay, well, you're God too. Right? We serve the one true God, the only God. Right? The only God. Oh, well, maybe this, I grew up in a culture of, well, this guy will help you get to this guy. No, just, there's only one mediator, Jesus. One and only one mediator. Right? We don't need to talk to somebody else and then he can relay a message. When boldly we can enter the throne room of grace. The Bible says, boldly, we have access. Jesus tore the curtain in two. Right? There's no more separation. There's only one true God. And Jacob agreed on that God. Right? He tried to incorporate his. Right? And he said, no. There's only one God. And this is who I'm going to swear by. Right? We need to be very careful. He couldn't come to an agreement. We're not going to change everybody's mind. Laban's mind wasn't changed. He just couldn't say nothing. Right? So he drew a line, and a lot of us know there's a line in our lives that we can't cross, right? There's lines in our lives that, oh, maybe I'll just go here for a little bit. No, you don't cross that line, right? There's harm, there's danger, there's problems, right? Instead, just turn around and go where the Lord has called you, right? When I first got saved, there was a lot of friends I wanted to go back and minister to. And I remember feeling the Lord telling me, say, you just keep going forward and I will place them in your life again. And then you can speak to them. Right? You don't need to go back. I'll place them. And they have some, not all of them. Right? Some have appeared here and there in my life as we go. Right? Just continue to go forward. Continue to serve God. Continue to love on Him. Right? They made the so-called peace offering. But it was just a place of fear and suspicion, mistrust, right? He swore on all these other gods. Jacob just swore on the one true God, right? The one we worship. And then it says, then they worshiped the Lord. They broke bread. And it says he went his own way. Amen? I'll stop right there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, give you honor and glory once again, Lord. Always we give you honor and glory. And we just thank you, Lord, for this time again.